follow in understanding the whole shop of the tire market. What's going to happen tonight, time permitting, is that the grapes here are going to end up as bottled grape juice. They're not going to be wine yet. Hopefully someday they'll grow into wine in the near future. But that's what's going to happen tonight. The goal is to show the whole process from beginning to end. I want to express my appreciation to Rav Aaron for being here tonight. All right, give your attention. You'll see what you can see, and some of you may want to come a little bit closer to be able to see better. Right.
The truth is that making wine from the time of Chazal till today didn't change much. The same process, same procedure had to be done, following all the steps. Just we have to try to apply how the Lashonis of Chazal and the Gemara Lashonis, how it fits into today, how we make the wine. The time of Chazal, which you see in the Mishnah, was the way the wine began. There were two boyers. In the rocks they had a pit, and one was called the Gatz, and the next one was called the Yeker. What changed from the Gatz to the Yeker? It was built on a slope. The Gatz was where they would crush the grapes. In those days they crushed it with the feet. They didn't have anything else, so they crushed with the feet the grapes, and it stayed over there. They had to put a barrier to stop the grapes, the one flow into the next pit, into the Yeker. So they had a wall over there. Why did they have to put a stop? Part of the fermentation process, forming the wine, is when it sits with the peels and everything, which gives it the color, and that gives it the power to ferment and then turn into wine. So therefore, they have to put a blockage before it goes into the Yekev, into the lower level, and it sits over there. So really, what the Mishnah, all the Mishnah really quotes is the process of Doris and the Gas, which you would crush the grapes, and then in the Yekev would ferment. But the pressing is simply lost a little bit. So Rashi in the Mishnah again says, kind of call it Tefuach. Tefuach is where in the circle where the Gas was a center. Over there they would gather the peels, they would sit over there, and then they would press it down with heavy stones. And the Mishnah Shabbos is similar lashon is, trying to encourage Beisagai. That was done for the olive oil, it was all the same idea, to press down with heavy weight. But for the grapes, lashon is tafuah. That was in the center, and over there it was sat down in the center, crushed down, pressed, and over there, once that was all done, then the wall was open, and all the wine went in to the Yekev, and it sat over there. That was sealed. The Lashon Rashi quotes is, was done with Sid, and that Lashon of the Mishnah is, Bar Sid She'ena Ma'abitipa. Bar Sid She'ena Ma'abitipa, because you don't want anything to get absorbed or get lost. It was sealed in there in the Yekev, and that's where the Bar Lashon is. It sat over there and fermented over there, then it went to barrels, and that was the final stage. We don't have any boilers or gas. What do we have today? So the way it's done today, most of the place, most of the wine people, at least in the factories, just much bigger machinery, but same idea is, the crusher is where it was dyrus, dyrus beisabad, that was where they crushed the grapes, and it falls into a pit. This pit, this is the pail that's under it. So this is our gas, and then from here it gets sits over here for a week and it ferments. And then, after a week where the peel, the guy has told the wine, then it can get transferred, get siphoned into the Yekev, which is the 5 gallon, whatever, 6 gallon, big vat, and over there it sits and it ferments. When it sits and it ferments over there, it's not sealed. The pressure, some created the pressure of the wine while it's fermenting, is cooking so much that if you close it up, it would shatter the bottle. Rabbi told me one of the companies, at some point, they had the machine had to leave, so they took those vats, a thousand of gallons, and they locked it up and they sealed it. The machine came back a week later, it exploded, and gallons of gallons went to waste. The pressure that is in the grapes while it's fermenting, it can break through stainless steel, anything, any power it has, it can explode. So therefore, the way it's made, we'll see soon, there's a certain cap that does not allow air in. so the germs and everything doesn't cause to ruin the wine. Yet, at the same time, it allows the pressure to escape, and that's basically how it's done. Why? The first time I got the grapes and I saw how it's done, so they took grapes straight out of the case, coming from the field. They didn't wash it at all. And I was very disturbed that with the cleanliness of all the grapes. The reason for that is that we cannot wash it. If you wash the grapes, you're never going to have wine.
Are they worried about pesticides?
Yes. So the why can't you wash the grapes? Because Hashem created on the peel of the grapes is yeast, and that aids for the fermenting, forming, changing the sugar in the grapes into alcohol. If you wash it off, nothing's going to happen. Sometimes you have to add yeast, different things. So therefore, there's no way that we can touch the grapes as the way it comes from the fields, off the trees. And once it goes in there, it allows all part of the process that Hashem created in the grapes itself, has everything it needs to work and to create wine without adding anything to it. Sometimes they would add sugar to help the process, but in itself it's not necessary at all to add anything. Some of the bottles I have over here was made from grapes straight through, nothing was added, no sugar, no yeast, no sulfite, nothing was added, and Baruch Hashem created it work. The Gemara says 3 times a year they would check the grapes to see if it doesn't spoil. Gemara Gittin mentions it, to see if it doesn't spoil. They constantly have to check to see what goes on. While the process happens, sometimes you can't even taste it. This wine, what we mixed was a blend. The light orange one is a blend of Malone and Masca. This one. And while it was fermenting, it looked like gray mud. And after, and the boys are telling me, throw it out, that's it, it didn't work, that's it, you lost that. We kept on dabbing and dabbing and Hazar, Viva, Verina, Yisrael. And at the end of Baruch Hashem, the process worked and the beautiful wine came out from all that fermenting. So we're going to start first and do the crushing. If anyone wants to help the crushing going on. And once the crust goes in there, it ferments and it takes it a week or so until it starts. Anyone would like to come up by over here?
Any questions?
No, of course you don't have to stand anymore. Drop the press or take off the shoes. The way it works is the crusher works, it doesn't press the grape. It crushes it, opens it in a certain amount that allows the liquid to ooze out. Okay, so basically the way it's created, it goes through here and in turn and actually crushes the grapes itself. This is the Kurdish base Abad. This is the base of that that was going on. As it goes down and crushes. It splits in a certain amount enough that it allows it to eat out. I'm turning and that you watch in the bottom, you see how it goes in and it goes all the way down. It crushes with the 2-3 pieces back and forth.
Watch your fingers.
Turn the other way.
We don't want to do
this. Oh, yeah.
Yes. If you cook
grape juice, it stays grape juice forever.
the organisms on the peel that make a change.
Okay, now we're going to do the next step, which is getting it from the gas into the ether, where it can ferment. This is the one that came out after a few months of sitting around. This is right here, is Man of Mashiach. He and a young bum, and he got Zerah, the Zerah, and the Shaykh HaZerah, within minutes we can do fermenting wine into wine ready to be used and the bottle. So Baruch Hashem.
That's
it. That's it around and then it turns into this.
How long?
Usually sits until Chanukah time, the sediment drops to the bottom, and then the top forms a little foam, also junk, and the middle is what we siphon out, and we put into another bottle like this, which is clean wine, and that sits until Purim and Pesach time. So it takes 3-4 at least 4 months to ferment.
Is your alcoholic content in that?
What is the alcoholic content?
This one out.
Why, it's like regular grape juice?
This is the times of Mashiach. This is already made up wine. This is not real wine. After a few months sitting over there, we'll turn into this. This is the puff mouth. We can watch how we siphon it. Alright? First, we're going to do is press a little bit. Press the grapes, which is the step which is before it goes into the gas, which is the fork. Yes, can we do it? Is it possible to sit down and we'll do the pressing and then we'll come back?
This is going to stay true.
Which one? This is the fork, which is impressed. In the Mishnah, Rashi quotes it. Hold it over there.
The fork is in the gas still?
In the gas, which is in the center, which they would press down, which Tani Kurdish Beit Shabbat, which is weight to press down. Here we have all the types of press, a dog press, all different ways to get the weight. Instead of having a heavy weight coming down, they have all different ways, which is this is the gas, which is the fork, which was to press the grapes. And once it's pressed and all the liquid goes out, it gets put away to ferment in the airbag.
Normally you wouldn't do this for a week.
Right, this is all done after the week, after it already started turning into wine. Why is wine red or white? Anyone knows? The peels. That's what sits for a week, so it gets the color from the peels. If you squeeze it right away, not much color, even if the grapes are red.
Peel it, that it
would be white. That's what it is. Most of the wine, the high alcohol wine, are dry wine. Why do we have sweet wine with the strong alcohol? The reason for that is because, like we explained, the process is that the sugar turns into alcohol. So as the alcohol rises, higher percentage, the sugar gets eaten up, and it's finished. The targum by the Shiva Saminim, Eretz Yisrael Gefen, the targum says by Gefen, is Anavim Hayotzim Chal V'Chorif, which is sweet and sharp, sweet and strong. What exactly is the targum saying? That the Hashivus of the fruit of Eretz Yisrael is that the grapes are so sweet that even after you press it and the alcohol is so strong, it still remains sweet. That's the beauty, regardless of the extract. There's one wine I heard today, one of the famous wine makers told me that there's one wine, it's a late harvest, and it's an expensive one, and that is strong alcohol, over 12%, yet it's very sweet. So they keep it on the tree, late harvest, and then it turns into... The grape turns almost to like a sugar, like a hard sugar, and then they press it, and that's basically how it all forms. That is high percentage and sweet. How do they get low percentage wine? How do you get wine to 5-6% and all that? You can add water. If you stop the process, put sulfite, or you cook it up and you stop the process at the early stage, you still have the sugar. And it didn't turn yet into a high percentage of alcohol. So therefore, if you stop at a certain point, then you have that power of the sweetness and it's not that strong. The other way is called second press. Second press in Chazal is called temet. Wait, what's temet? Temet is...
Water and squeeze it again.
Exactly, right? You restart the process again. After you took these grapes that were crushed and pressed, you take these grapes... and leftovers, and you put it into water and sugar, and it restarts the process fermenting. That quality is when it stands ready, second class. You can do that again a third time. So what comes out is there's a lot of sugar, and the alcohol is not that strong. That's how we get, that's why you buy the wine to be $50.
That the wine is always looking the same, you know, year after year, like the certain wine. Oh, look at this. Shouldn't there be variations?
Yet they're the same grapes. Same way a restaurant tries to get the recipe to be the same.
What type of grapes are you using?
These are not wine grapes. They're the grapes because the season is not, you can't get all the grapes of the wine. It's not the right season. One more press, and then we're going to go to the side room.
Thank you.
about the siphoning, the lashon of the Gemara of the siphoning, Tanakh Chazal also did the same way. It's called Malan Bedoyfi. It's a lashon in Erevin, and Rashi explains that Malan Bedoyfi is that Doyfi is from Dapi, from two. They would take two reeds and they would cut it on an angle, and Rashi explains that they would suck from one corner, suck in, and that would start the process, and if one is higher than the other, then it would transfer, the whole liquid would transfer from one into the other, which we're going to do soon. Okay, so what point does it become Roy, which could become Yayin Esav? So that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. The Gemara starts off, once there's Amshacha, Mishah Himshach, when does that happen? So the different Lashonis and Tosfos and Amud Beis, the big Tosfos brings, first and first quotes Rashi, and Rashi sheeted that in this bucket, in the Gat, even if one separated a little bit, one separated on one side, some of the grapes away from the liquid, that's already ro'oi, that's called, that is already hamshafa. Already was separated liquid and the pills, and that's already ro'oi, that if the guy now is going to touch it, then it's going to become yayin esav. Taisa says, but he holds that it's not just a small section in the actual gas. You really have to separate the whole area. Based on top to bottom, whatever is there, the whole grapes to one side and the liquid on the other side, that's called Amshafa. Taisa says from Rebbe Tam, all the way down to the Amgeish, so Taisa says that he holds, it's not enough. If it's the woman that's sitting in this barrel, then there's no Amshafa. When does Amshafa happen? What we do now is once the wine gets siphoned out, there's Amshafa into the next barrel, that's already the din of the Amshafa, and that's when it's ready for a guy. If he touches it, or pours it, or shakes it, those are the three things. We'll see that the Shabbat talks about the Gemara, that makes it ready, Yayin Esav. So once it's Nimshach, then it's Ro'oi to become Yayin. Okay.
If you have the page of the Shulchan Aruch, what Rav Aaron said, Me'im Esay Nikra Yayin, Le'yosu V'magai V'kechavim, when is it wine? Mishehishva Limashech, when it starts to flow, in the gas itself, the Gemara says to Pirush Rashi. Rashi says in the gas itself, he says the Rabbeinu Tam havelei lemeimer ki luach, only when it flows down. In other words, make a make more sense.
Maybe
the words always made sense.
Goyim don't work in the money companies.
Huh?
You don't have Goyim
working. Now the Goyim are never around in the actual factory. Goyim are not around. There's one place that the goyim are around, like Hedem, which I saw, is when they take the grapes and it comes from the field, comes in these big wooden cases, and over there the tractor picks it up and pours it into that tunnel that leads into the crusher. That is done by a goyim. And well, like we explained, because it was never done on shelf, it never went into the crushing, never went into the gas. So therefore there's no crushing, there's no Amshacha done, so there's no problem, you can have the guy do it. The Shaila was asked if one of the truck drivers that was carrying the grapes or whatever it was, from one place to another, he stopped off at a place, and he there's a faucet at the side of the truck, and he pours up a cup of wine, grapes, so wine, he pours up a cup, he wanted a drink. And then the shadow was now, what happens now with the whole truck full of grapes? Now he did Amshacha. He poured, he took exactly what he wasn't supposed to do. He poured, separated what in the truck was the wine and all the grapes and everything, and he pours out a cup of only a liquid. So the shadow of that is, which we'll see in the Gemara, Nitzik Chibra, which is there Nitzik? We know that whatever he poured which is a problem by Simchas. If the wine is not mevushel, you can't have waiters for non-Jews pouring wine, because they're doing, even if it's in a bottle, they're pouring the wine, which is one of the problems. So the question was, is that true? We know whatever he poured is a problem with Yain Esser. But what's left up in there? Do we say that when you pour, that there's a connection of the pouring all the way back into the vat, whatever you have? That's the Machlokes. You say, needs a chibur or not? So the place can say that it depends if this guy is really a Oida or a Zara or not. You know, this man said, the Shekhanov says right, that most of the guy are not Oida or a Zara. So therefore, when the guy is not Oida or a Zara, the Yain is still awesome, but it goes down a level. So therefore, you would say he needs a chibur, but after the whole thing, if you know this guy is Oida or a Zara. If he's not, then you won't ask for the wine in the barrel, only whatever came out. Questions today, who is Oida or a Zara is not. Best to have the Arabs and not everybody are, the Christians are. And a lot of these Spanish ones, you'll run to the church Sunday mornings and over there, you're asked around, they pour wine over there. When they go every Sunday morning, they pour wine over there to their Abu Dazar, which is a big problem. You couldn't put them to Abu Dazar, which makes the guy less a problem.
But this is
correct. 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 Increment. Not yet, but once we poured out, we did Hamshaf over here. We took out a whole.
He thinks only wine is there, and that's not grape juice.
The minute we do the separating wine from the liquid from the pieces, it's already the process has begun that it could form a problem if the guy touches it. Now, is a problem if the guy looks at the wine? If the guy looks at the wine, the Shulchanara doesn't say anything. It doesn't say anything, Shulchanara, that the wine is a problem. It's the Shla. The Makar is the Shla. The Shla says that one should not use wine. The Minig is for Kiddush, but his lesson over there is anything. One should not use wine that the guy looked at. If the guy saw the wine at any point, then one should not use it or drink from it. Why? He says because the guy has a Makshava not proper. And by looking at it, it could affect the wine, and the wine is something which one should have, should be clean and pure. So therefore, some people, I'm not, but at least the Kiddush, they don't use any wine that the guy saw. No, the Mevushel takes care of the problem. And that's the question altogether, is the wine Mevushel today? All they do is they actually just use a they just use the percentage, temperature for cooking the wine, just pasteurization, which not so much that's called cooking. Okay, so this is now already going from the, this is already the Yekev, and at some point, Chalikon, we transfer it, and it goes into the next one. So this is Malam Bedoyki that we suck, that's been a different level, the height, and once we go in over here, it goes from next into the other.
Explain why you don't just pour it in. Explain why did you don't pour it?
The reason why we don't pour the wine is just the wine is not good when it gets poured and shaken up. So it gets transferred through siphoning, so it doesn't actually aggravate or cook the wine up. There's another form that they use today. The wine is going through now. You can see the color is not that bright, similar to what the wine that we pressed over here. Fresh grapes coming in over here. Again, you see the side of it comes out. It's constantly coming out.
What made it come out?
What made it come out? I suck the drop in one corner, and we do the drop, and the rest comes already. It's nice and close. That's what the and it goes down pretty quick. It takes a couple of minutes, and it goes down. It gets transferred into the other one. One of the ones, there's another way how they came up today with a small pump. So they attach a pump to the top, and you pump, instead of having to suck in, you do the pump. When we did the first bottle of wine, we used that pump, and we pumped it a few times, and it aggravated the wine, and we went and bottled it, and we put the cork in, and within 2 minutes, the cork shot out. It was, you started up with the wine, the pressure cooked, and it went up all the way into the... We're tracking it, because it's not a good time after a couple months, there's sediments on the bottom. The Gemara says another place that when you press the Torah, you should talk. You say, Hadik, Hatev, Hatev, Hadik, Meshakol, Yapol, Abusanim. It's good to talk. On my shank in wine, what it says, shikas yot liyayim. They weren't cooked. So how would they know when to stop? And they have to need a few people helping. So the lashon gemara is not give a kush, a certain lashon that they would hit it without talking. When they hit it, the guy knew that he has to stop the wine because it's getting too down, too low to the bottom. You don't want the sediment and the pieces coming in. That was that lashon that they used. So we're going to stop it for a second. As it's going down, we're going to bottle some of these. Okay, so the way it's the bottle. I'll put this over here, though, you can see. There's another bottle on the top. Okay. Once the suction is in, it continues on as long as we don't take it out of the water again. And different ways, this contraption is a small valve that doesn't affect the wine as it's going out, it continues going in from one to the other. It has to be on the level lower than the one that's coming out. And as it's coming out, it goes into the bottles and then it gets bottled. And this is usually done around the Purim time or Pesach time. There's an interesting shayla that was asked, if I can ask the oilam, because we have to elevate our phones. If one can Google, can go into...
We don't have smartphones.
Huh? No one has it, okay. Okay. There's a type in. There's a certain truck that they use that presses the wine, brings the wine off the trees. It's called a grape combine. Okay, and you see over there, the other ones to go in the sea, I'll tell you which one to look at. The shaila was that at some point the truck, what happens is the truck knocks off all the trees. So ERO, I don't know which one. So now you can see, because the shaila was asked earlier, ERO grape harvester. Adam sees it?
Yeah,
ERO grape, yeah, it's a small video. See how the truck happened. They showed this to Rabbi Yasser. I don't know if they brought him the phone or not. But they showed him the shiloh was, you watch how the truck goes through. It's amazing how they did it. The grape vines are not that tall. The truck is created as a hollow opening inside. And the truck basically drives straight through the grape vines. And as it's going through, there's a chopper inside and it knocks off, shakes the vines and knocks off all the grapes. And it puts it into the truck, and over there it puts it into a small compact that holds it over there, and it fills up with all the grapes, and then it drives over to the big container. When it reaches that container, what happens? It opens up, and it starts pouring out. So what happens when you start pouring, what comes out?
Liquid
is pouring out, and then the grapes. So they asked him, was Yom Shaka was done? It's already Yom Shaminsha. He wrote it down, but it's interesting. You go a little further. And it's a question that asked me asked, is that called Yayin Shanimsha before they even crushed it? In the truck, they poured out and that was it. See, he said that the mice is the problem, and he asked for the wine if the guy does it. The only heter is, the Sam Seifen wrote another question already, that if Amshaka is done without Kavana, it's not called Amshaka. Therefore, the guy over here, the truck, is not has no interest in pouring out the liquid first. He wants to get everything out into the dump. Happens to be that the liquid pours out much faster than the other one. Therefore, it could have some circuit, it's not a problem at all. It all depends what your kavan is. Some circuit goes so right that some circuit says that even if you had intentions to pour to Yom Shaka, but while you went, pieces fell in with it, he says it's still called Yom Shaka, because your kavan was, I wanted to clean it, I wanted to get liquid out. Therefore, even if at some point pieces went in, it's called Yom Shaka. But if you say that, the other place in that case, that truck would not be a problem. The Riyasha felt that it's still Usher, and that's what he said, that it's an issue with it's called Yom Shaka already at that point. Now, we've got the wine in here, and the next thing is we have to close it up. He said the corks go in. I always wondered, how does the cork get in here? Okay, once you open it, you have a hard time getting it in even to close it. But
sits over here into the tefuach, which gets pressed,
And then it goes into the yetzer of the bottles over there, it sits over there, and it ferments. How did we spoke about not sealing the bottle, because otherwise it would explode. So what they have is these, something looks like this. And the way it works is that the water, it gets filled up with water inside in the center, and it gets put on, so it seals it on top of the barrel, and the pressure goes out and it goes through the water. And the air goes through it, bubbles, and constantly sees throughout, you see months, all throughout the months that it's fermenting, it's constant bubbling. It bubbles, bubbles, bubbles all the time, and as it's going out, no air can go because of the water level, and whatever needs to escape, the pressure goes out. And this is how it sits for months and months. As the fermenting process stops, the level over here, the water is usually on one side, but the pressure is constant pressuring and pressures the water to go up one side. As the fermenting stops, the pressure drops and the water level starts evening out. Once it evens out and there's no bubbling, no fermenting, then you know the time has come that it's ready to go put into the bottles. You don't have to worry of the bottles exploding or turning anything into the wine problems. That is how this thing works. It could be done any other way, but the idea is that no air can go in, so it doesn't really want to turn sour. And the pressure constantly goes out, and that's how it ferments throughout the months.
What's the best material for the active?
Plastic? Glass is always better than plastic.
So the active is not a barrel?
In time Chazal, they had it was a pit. It was called the bar. That's the lashon of it. Actually, yard of the bar. That's what the hamshacha happens. Rashi says.
So what's the yain shehichlin?
When it ferments.
Well, it's the yain shehichlin become like vinegar, right?
Since when you are,
you say you this the whole idea here is prevented. What's the
part? Yain shehichlin means that it ferments. Not always does it mean chaymetz over here. Yes. It has to constantly ferment. It takes a couple of months until the actual pressure stops and it turns into the class of the sugar turning into alcohol. The question was very good. I was bothered with that. The lesson is that sat in the bar and it was bar shenem out of the keeper, so it was sealed, but where did they seal the bar? So I asked a couple of people, Rebbeim over here that taught me a little bit with the wine was actually Rabbi Yerman. He sits over here most of the weeks and he sits and learns over here. He's one of the mumchim in winemaking. And he told me the place to speak about what they used to do, they would pour oil over the bar. And the oil formed a seal that no air went in and allowed everything to escape. That's how they used to do it. Or that other way, that other contraptions. Yeah.
When does it go into a barrel?
Either they have, either it stopped fermenting.
And the.
And some wine it kept in barrels for years and years, expensive wine.
But where do they stifle it into barrels? Or they
would stifle it into the barrels.
What's the aging? What does that have?
Aging the wine?
Yeah,
it's finished fermenting at some point. But if it sits, for some reason, if it sits for years and years, it gets a stronger taste.
Shekayah Rabbah. Those who want to dab a marib, I guess you go to one side and dab it.